And welcome, gentle listener, to The Talking Show. Kaechung Radio, Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio station's only all-talking, all-the-time radio show.
Tonight, don't think we won't feature a rebroadcast of our famous or infamous Levon Lambeth episode. If you thought the New Year's party was over, you are so wrong. Tonight, on The Talking Show, Levon Lambeth.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back to The Talking Show on Kaechung Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Nicholas Miller, here with my co-host, Steve Cato.
Hey.
How you doing today, Steve?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Pretty weird weather out there right now.
No kidding, buddy.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
You know, Steve and I, we went to that tofu house place on Vermont. It's Vermont, right?
It's actually on Olympic. No, it's on Olympic at Vermont.
Yeah, the other day. And gosh, it just really warmed everything up. It was fantastic. You can get those big bowls with the soup and the noodles and get a nice cold beer to go with your meal.
Or some soju. Soju.
It's really great. You liked that, didn't you, Steve?
God, there's nothing I like more than Korean food, Nicholas. You know that.
Right. Golly. No, I couldn't have said it better, Steve. That's right on the money. Well, let's get serious for a minute here. Steve, per our conversation back at the tofu house last night, what do you think about that economic crisis going on in Greece?
Well, I mean, I'm going to court controversy here and say, what economic crisis? I don't think there is an economic crisis in Greece, really. What there is there's a crisis of confidence in Western financial markets, and that's driving instability. And at the same time, of course, within the brokerage industry, that instability is actually profitable. It's fluctuations within the market that generate money for brokers, not consistency. So therefore, there doesn't need to be a financial crisis in Greece. There needs to be the impression that there's a financial crisis in Greece. The problems in Greece have been the problems in Greece forever. There's no reason why they have to matter now, except that speculation makes it more profitable, especially when other areas where the market was previously growing, for example, are no longer growing. For example, because the consistent rate of joblessness in America is actually catching up and hurting the economy. Previously, for example, it didn't matter how many people were actually working in the American economy because the financial sector could produce wealth whether or not the majority of Americans were actually, let's say, benefiting at all from the apparently flourishing economy. And now that that's not so much the case, that money has to be made elsewhere, for example, through generalized financial instability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's what I think. Sorry.
Wow, that's a new perspective. I just
was working on that between our meal and now.
Well, I bring it up because I was looking at the internet this morning, watching some video clips of people talking about that whole thing.
Mm.
And I noticed that something like that, this economic crisis, it causes people to say some of the weirdest things.
No kidding.
Really strange things. And they say them out loud and on the radio and on television. And it's kind of troubling. I mean, for example, like I said, this morning when I was looking, I came across somebody who said this: "We will defend the euro at all costs." That's pretty strange. Does that make much sense to you, Steve?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by making sense, Nicholas. On the one hand, it does make sense to me. I think that what we see here is someone clearly involved in financial matters. Maybe this is like, was this a quote from Sarkozy or someone? Anyway, whoever said this is trying to instill confidence. And again, like I said, interact with this opinion-based market entity and create an impression of stability. So I can see why someone would say that. Yet at the same time, of course, when you break it down, when you consider it as an utterance, the euro itself being a completely, and in fact, maybe the most definitively abstract financial unit in current circulation, and then considering the infinite nature of the phrase any cost, certainly what we have there is, and I think you're right in saying this on one level, ultimately weird language. This is super strange. So I think you're both justified in feeling that it's strange, and at the same time I think we can see where this is coming from, don't you?
Well, yeah, we've got a very emotional guest here tonight. And from the look of him, he's going to be saying some pretty strange things. So everyone, sit back. Try to relax. Try not to get too involved. Here we have Levon Lambeth.
I'm in the middle of a raucous crowd. Drinks are flowing, food is being devastated. The music is loud, the lights are low. I'm dressed in the latest fashions, my hair styled to perfection. I have a big car, an expensive wardrobe, a luxury apartment. I travel, I spend. I lead what is known as the good life. I know many people. I have many women. Why do I feel like a traveler in a land of strangers? This hedonistic life has grown old, one party after another, going from woman to woman to woman. I feel trapped in it now. I don't think I could settle down to a normal life, one with a home, with one woman. I don't like my life as it is. But I'm scared and uncertain about sharing a home. Sharing of myself. I lay here on this bed, the cold wind whistling outside. Loneliness pervading my mind, my body, my soul. And I wonder why. I ask myself a question to which I already have the answer. A beautiful, warm, loving woman who believed in me, who loved me, was not enough for a man who wanted excitement, fast times, many women. And now, I have nothing but a cold, lonely room, sharing a bed with a woman whose name I sometimes forget. I enter her body often, but I've yet to enter her mind. Our souls are light years apart. We make love, but we do not love. We share a house, but not a home. If any man is listening to this old, old story, remember my lament. A man can have many loves, lay with many bodies, but he only comes across that one real woman once in a lifetime, if he's lucky. If he loses her, he simply walks through life. This is not simply a story. It is the fact of my life. I am a man, foolish, arrogant, overbearing. I do not know how to appreciate the most important thing in the world, the most important factor in the world, in my life, in the life of any man, is my woman. Not a woman, not some woman. But my woman. and I receive the kind of love that makes me so very special, and I give it all up, I am indeed a foolish, foolish fool. I am a man who cannot love. I do not know how to love. When a woman has come to me with real feeling, I turn her off. I keep her at arm's length. I fear a real relationship. I want to know every intimacy of her body, but I want to know nothing of her fears, her hopes, her wants, her needs. We enjoyed one another. We traveled, we played, we made very sweet love. I showed her great times, I made her laugh. I thought that was enough. I never gave her what she really wanted, when she really needed me. I wasn't there. During the day, I am vain, egotistical, arrogant. I laugh about my affairs, talk of my sexual prowess, my conquests. I am a man who needs no woman except for sexual satisfaction and pleasure. Yet my nights are restless. Her face and body dance in my mind. I wake up sweating. Her phone number, her address, her bedroom are still as clear to me as my own. I know what I should do. I should go back to that woman. If I'm bending knee, if I have to crawl, she is everything that I want and could ever possibly want. But I will not. I am the way I am. I am not happy with this fact. But I won't change. Perhaps I can't. I want so much in a woman. I am hardly perfect, yet I demand perfection. I'm not willing to give unquestioned love. It's less than a woman if she is not willing to give it to me. I want a woman to give herself completely, to put her soul in my hands. And then I might consider her worthy of me, of the right to carry my name. I am many things, but most of all, tragic, lonely fool. I am something I don't like very much. I see a woman, I meet her, I often lie to her. I use her body, I leave. There is an emptiness in my being that makes me feel like a dumb animal. I live to eat, to play, to make indiscriminate love to any woman who will have me. I care only for my desires, my wants, my needs. I am a dog, an emotional, sexual dog. Why do I walk away? My foolish pride, my arrogance can brook no weakness, no indecision, no indiscretion in a woman. I simply walk away. I will not talk. I will not ask. I will not plead. I simply walk away. I have lost more than one good woman with my intransigence, my arrogance, my refusal to even consider her feelings. Why she did not call one day, a tone in her voice that I did not like. Much of my life has been lost opportunities, lost loves. My male ego is intact, but I am a very lonely man. Let me have you more, but not me, Ravine Masset. Now the wood of that wood, our ones will fall as that. Our ones will end up winning the blood booths, the snow on that. And the Emmer of Sadness will feed him on that. And the ship was fast. We already nearly won. Our first we have added, since their first five series was. There was a one fish, the mirage, you light one, stem it one. Snark, you like one, you know, one, my cat, bring your stuff at night. I am a loner. Very much of a loner. Most of the time, I enjoy my solitude, my quiet, my sense of self-possession. And then, there are those times that I am no longer a loner. I am just plain lonely. I have forgotten how to love. I am of the living dead, amidst the forgotten names and the bodies of countless women. I am as dead as stone. To be awakened from this kind of earthly death will be to be reborn. I don't deserve it, but I pray for that last chance to love and live again. I have gone to heaven and hell and back throughout my personal, my sexual life since I left you. Yet your essence, my sense of you, has never left me. Even now, after many years and many women, in the midst of work, in the middle of the night, sometimes while making love to another woman, thoughts of you keep coming back. I know that you and I will never love again. And so I will go on living with the fact that your image will be burned in my consciousness until the day I die. Don't ever turn your back on the one you know really counts. No image, no illusory machismo is worth hurting. Prove to yourself, your friends, that although you care for her, you don't really need her. You, the self-sufficient man. I've known many fools who pass for men. I've known one such fool better than anyone else in the world. And I tell all the fools in the world, don't ever do what I did. It is something you have to live with. Something I don't know if I can do much longer. I've got to understand her, her moods, her feelings, her thoughts. Everything that I do or don't do will not mean anything if I don't understand. Even our intense, passionate, physical lovemaking will not bring us together when I don't really feel. I know that I must understand, but I wonder if I ever will. Giving of myself is something I must learn to do. Not part of me, or most of me, but all of what I am. A man who keeps part of himself hidden, in reserve, will never be a complete man. I long for the sheer ecstasy of giving every ounce of what I am to the woman I love. I will strip my body, my mind, my soul bare. I will appear naked to her, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, with complete honesty and absolute intensity. When that happens, I will experience what I've searched for all of my life. I want a woman who I can love and give my name. A woman who will have many moods and never really change. I want a woman who expects a male to really be a man. She will comfort me and strengthen me and encourage me in every way she can. I will be a man in every sense of that word. Soul of her own, yet mystically and actually a part of my every fiber and sense. I will protect her and care for her and love her. I only ask that she understand me and love me. That is all that this man wants out of his life. You are a woman. You need my will, my strength, the strengths of my body and my mind. I will be there to give you all that I have of the strengths that you need and I can give. A man can do no less. I love you. These three words are enough to put all of my caution, my hesitancy, my cowardice to rest for all time. You have taken a cautious, careful man and made him give all of himself, every inch of what he is or ever will be. If what we have lasts one more day or 50 years, to have shared the joys I have shared with you will be worth any uncertainty that the future holds. And whatever happens, there will be no regrets. I have put my foolishness, my arrogance, my stupidity behind me. I have learned to give as well as to take. I will bend. I will compromise a little. No. I will bend and compromise as much as necessary to keep you here with me, to have you caress me in the middle of the night, to have the incredible softness of your voice whispering into my ear. Just being near you was enough to bring me to my senses. What is image, what is ego compared to the feeling, the emotion, the sensuality of your love? They are nothing. Your love is everything. I now know that I have loved you for as long as I can remember. I loved you when I did not even know what the word love really meant. When I felt that I was above feeling this way about any woman. You are a woman that many men could love, would fight for. Yet you cared for me, wanted me, loved me. I loved you and did not realize it until now. I have grown up. I have become a man. I am ready to give of myself, to accept, and to give love. When you came my way, the years of emptiness suddenly ended. The years of being half a man, of not knowing how, capable of love, of a man and woman, emotionally, spiritually committed type of love. I was safe and secure and satisfied, never knowing any real hurt, nor any real joy or exhilaration, or that wonderful feeling of total power and at the same time complete helplessness that some call being in love. The very second I saw you, my days of wandering were over. It was as if, after many years of trial and turmoil, I had suddenly found my haven of warmth and good. Our eyes met and something magic began to happen for the very first time in my life. I felt an empathy, a feeling, a sense of oneness envelop me. My longing, my search was finally over. There's a real woman behind that quiet, shy exterior. A woman ready to give a real love to a real man. There are passions ready to blow the mind of that man. You have held yourself in too long. One too many boys have hurt you. You have a mountain of love to give, but you cannot give it to just anyone. Not to just any male, but to that one male who knows a real woman when he meets her. You'll know him, because he will no longer be a grown-up boy. but a man in every sense. Bring your love to me. Bring your body, your mind, your soul. Intertwine them with mine and make them one. Bring your love to me, and I promise you joy, ecstasy, all a man can give. Our pleasures will be sweet, our joys will be many. Bring your love to me. Our bodies become one, our spirits indivisible. Our moments become eternity. Bring your love to me. Touching your skin, looking into that face, tasting your lips, listening to the softness in your voice, smelling your fragrance, all create in one moment, in our total essence, the most pleasurable sense of all. You are the sixth and the greatest sense in all of your magnificent womanliness. Your body is under mine. I feel your flesh tingling with warmth and excitement. I sense the passions raging inside you. Our bodies are united. So also our feelings, our emotions, our minds. What we do in our physical act is more than making love. We are loving in the most beautiful, the most magnificent, the most complete sense. When we make love, we shall love with the mutuality of a single ray of sun. Your pleasure, your feelings, your ecstasy shall be mine. The sweat of our skin, the heat of our flesh shall create a unity of our minds, our feelings, our thoughts that transcend our sexual pleasures. The physical and mental pleasures of both of us will be one before, during, and after our lovemaking. We will experience that billion kilowatt feeling of complete sensuality. I want to be the one to love, to care, to provide for you. I want you to stay as soft and as feminine and of needing my strength as you are at this very moment. I want to know your love, your hopes, your fears, your tears, your dreams, your nightmares. I want to know everything there is to know about you. You fulfill all of my needs, spiritually, emotionally, sexually. Your soul is something I can almost feel in its total essence of me. Your feelings have become mine. Your sadness, your joy are part of me. They make me what I am. Your body and my body have become so much one that I feel your pain, experience your pleasure. You have become my strength, my will, my reason for existence. The wind is cold. The rain beats down harder. Our bed is snug. Our sheets cool and clean and crisp. Our bodies radiate a warmth that a thousand fires could never duplicate. There is a heaven on earth. It is very simple, very good. It is the two of us at this very moment. Nothing has ever existed in the history of man that could equal the absolute magnificence of what we now experience. Oh, that this could last forever. And ever. And ever. I really believe in woman's liberation. I also believe in human dignity, respect, and love between women and women, men and men, and most importantly, between men and women. I desperately need a woman who is in need of liberation. Liberation from depending on herself alone, from loneliness, from lack of love, understanding, and companionship. I want her liberated to the point that she depends on me for all the things that she will ever, ever need. Be your own woman. Live your life. Be many things in your own personality, but always, always be my woman. I can't express the intensity with which I love you. With every muscle of my body, every nerve of my brain, you belong to me and I to you, wedded together in more than words, like iron and heat to make steel. We will always be until that day we know will someday come.
Well, fascinating. Just fascinating.
Sorry.
Steve, I've got to ask, what did you think about that piano playing?
Oh, you know, I liked it. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or something.
Well, you know what they say. Piano playing is the greatest mystery. But I have a treat in store for you. So we had LaVon talking, saying all those really emotional things, and there was a piano playing. Why don't we take a little listen to Peter Oblinger's talking piano as it declares the proclamation of the European Environmental Criminal Court. Here it is.
Alles klar? Wohl kaum, das lässt sich aber ganz einfach ändern. Schon erstaunlich, wie genau plötzlich die Worte der Deklaration für einen internationalen Gerichtshof gegen Umweltverbrechen verständlich werden. Wien Modern war eine von 10 kulturellen Institutionen, die um einen künstlerischen Beitrag für die Veranstaltung im Dogenpalast in Venedig gebeten wurde. Diese Botschaft mit musikalischen Mitteln hörbar zu machen, ohne auf eine simple Vertonung zurückzugreifen, das war das ehrgeizige Ziel.
Ich glaube, es ist teilweise verständlich, teilweise unverständlich. Und es spielt genau mit der Grenze unserer Konstruktionsleistung im Gehirn. Das heißt, wir hören Klänge, die sind offensichtlich keine normale Musik, sind aber auch keine Sprache. Und manchmal schafft sozusagen so eine kleine Überbrückung statt. Ich finde, man hört, auch ohne den Text zu kennen, einzelne Worte. Und das Aha-Erlebnis passiert eigentlich dann, wenn man den Text sieht und dann plötzlich die Sprache da ist.
We declare that we are all responsible, educators, politicians.
Ein weiterer Brückenschlag: Miro Markus, ein 9-jähriger Schüler aus Berlin, hat den Text für die Performance aufgenommen. Jugend als Hoffnungsträger der älteren Generation. Der österreichische Komponist Peter Ablinger hat das Frequenzspektrum der Kinderstimme auf sein computergesteuertes mechanisches Klavier übertragen.
Ich löse eine Phonographie, das bedeutet also eine Aufnahme von irgendetwas, in diesem Falle der Stimme, löse die auf in einzelne Pixel. So könnte man im Übertragen durchaus sprechen. Und wenn ich die Möglichkeit habe, der Wiedergabe in einer sehr hohen Pixelauflösung, und diese habe ich nur mit einem mechanischen Klavier, dann kann ich tatsächlich eine Art von Kontinuität wiederherstellen. Wir können also in einem Klavierklang tatsächlich mit etwas Übung oder Unterstützung oder Untertitelung eine menschliche Stimme drin hören.
Well, that piano can really talk, can it, Steve?
I'd let that piano defend my euro at any cost, any day.
Well, it reminded me of something that we ask ourselves a lot, Steve and I. Is that when people play a piano, we immediately think of it as musical. But we don't think of people talking as musical. Steve, did you think that the piano playing behind Mr. Lambeth took away from the musicality of his voice?
You know, I wouldn't say so. I don't, I'm in a really flexible mood today. I don't need to play favorites today. I think that, really, the piano was a suitable accompaniment to the musicality of the voice. I've always been a great believer in counterpoint on a musical level. I'm not a trained composer, so of course my opinions may matter less than yours. Nicholas is in fact a composer. Maybe you in the audience didn't know that, but he's a man of a certain experience. But I'm not a composer. I'm a visual artist and an amateur philosopher. But the point I'm making, I guess, is that I've never been one much for harmony. I've never understood it. I've never understood its Western interpretation. And I've never felt particularly close to musical traditions where it was essential. So I think the intertwining of the piano and the voice suited me just fine, actually. Sorry to get really personal there. I didn't mean to go in that weird, disposition or whatever about counterpoint versus harmony. But I'm definitely on team counterpoint. So, if you've got to pick a team.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You've got to pick a team.
It almost takes just talking to really get that point across, to really make it feel out of the ordinary.
That's not what I said, Nicholas, actually. I think you need two things. Or you can have one. I mean, sure, monody has its place, but I think really counterpoint's where it's at. I think you need multiple voices simultaneously.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, when I was listening to those people talk about the economic crisis in Greece, I didn't think of it as music. That wouldn't make any sense to me. None at all.
I think, well, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what you're listening to. I didn't hear the thing you're talking about. Maybe I'd think that was music. I don't know, dude. Sorry. I'm way out there today. Yeah, I'm in outer space today. I'm sorry. There's a lot going on.
Maybe it's because when people talk about things like economics and politics, they're usually very serious. Maybe that has something to do with it.
No, everything's serious, dude. Come on, you know this. Nothing's not serious.
Yeah, well, thanks everyone for joining us here on The Talking Show with our very special guest, LaVon Lambeth. What's that, Steve?
Oh, and don't forget our friend with the talking piano. That guy was incredible, don't you think, Nick?
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. Folks, just one of the many great things said by Steve Cato.
Oh.
Thanks again for joining us here on K-Chung Radio in Los Angeles, California, on The Talking Show. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Stay dry.